For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel. Joining me tonight once again to give a managerial insight into our non-league talking points is manager at Chertsey Town FC, Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Well, Dave, hopefully this is the big weekend for you, this rearranged FA Vars game. Last 16 tie, Saturday afternoon, trip to Manchester, Earlham. Has the week's postponement helped or hindered?
It feels a bit like Groundhog Day. You know, we're doing it again. Listen, it is what it is. They had snow last week, Earlham. And I have to say, you know, obviously, we don't deal with Earlham every week. In fact, I don't know our church has ever dealt with them before. But speaking to my secretary and the people behind the scenes there, they said that the communication's been excellent. It's been upfront. We've been informed all the way through it. As to how the pitch was, what they thought, their early impressions. And they were right. And I said to you last week, you know, the impression they've given us the game won't go ahead. So, you know, we're ever thankful of that. And it's just one of them, you know, it's a big game for both clubs. And yeah, what can you do? It snowed and we had to cancel everything. And now we're going back up. Fingers crossed. You know what Manchester's like for rain. I lived in it for a year. So we hope that... we get it on this weekend and find out who then has to go to the northeast, because the draw was, I'm sure the people at Earlham would agree, the draw is as tough as it could be.
You end up facing the winners of the other game taking place this Saturday, which is Hebburn Town against West Auckland Town. So that's another nice short journey. shorter for Earlham if they make the progress, but that's... Logistically, as a step five manager, I mean, normally you have to be, you know, psychologist, dad, mum, and everything, as well as coach these players. Now you're being PA as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I listen. The game in the northeast is as far away from my mind as I'm sure the people of Earlham will be the same. You really can't look any further than Saturday, and if you do, you're daft. You know the old saying is, if you look too far in front of football, you trip over what's right in front of you. You know, so just get your head down, deal with what's in front. You know, I can say to you, I think it's a very difficult draw for whoever wins our game, but I haven't looked at train times to the northeast yet. Put it that way, you know. We've got a tough game, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a part of the world. I lived in Manchester for a year. You know, as you know, I'm mixed with a couple of people up there, and I'm looking forward to seeing them on Friday. They're going to pop over for a quick beer. But it's a big, big game, big, you know, and it's, you know, I'm smiling because why don't you want to be involved in them? You know, I've come back into management to be involved in big games, to have new experiences, even at my age. And we get to do that. So bring it on, as they say.
Well, Saturday evening is going to be a celebration, which whatever the result, I guess.
Well, listen, it's a long way to go to get stuffed. But, you know, you have to earn the right. And if we win, listen, the way back, I'm having a few beers. I've been around long enough. Don't worry about that. I don't care how it goes. I'll be having a few beers on the way back in a train. But the work then will be done. Our preparation, we feels right. We know we're in for a real sort of tough game. But I'm sure that they feel the same. It's when you get to the stage of the competition, of any competition, there's no mugs. There's no mugs left in the FA Vars now. So, and the joy of cup football for spectators, maybe not so much for managers, is very, very difficult to call. It's an on the day situation.
Now, there are FA Trophy and FA Vars games again this week, but we're back focusing on the league this show. First up, the Northern Premier League. We spoke earlier in the season with South Shields, who have had a great season so far with a 100% win record at home, but they've lost top spot to our next guest. Warrington Town currently sit top of the table, play 28 games with equal points of 59 with South Shields, who have a game in hand, but Warrington top by being a single goal better off. So tight at the top, as I'm sure chairman at Warrington Town, Toby McCormack, will agree. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Toby.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're good here. Now, I mentioned it's tight at the top because it's Farsley Celtic. They're third, three points behind, but yeah, two games in hand over you. So there's no let-up, is there, in this division?
It's not. It's form at the minute, and it's coming up to the time now. We'll get rid of a few more games now, and the 10-game running will be really squeaky bum times. So.
You're going great guns at the moment, though, with a 4-1 away win at Gainsborough Trinity last weekend, and that after a 3-0 win over Grantham Town at home. Is momentum all important?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've had a few sort of patches through the season. If you look at sort of our form, we've gone 12 games unbeaten, and I think we haven't conceded to something crazy like 9 games. And then we went to Halifax, took them to a fourth qualifying replay. After that, we went out, we didn't win 3 in 10, and then we won 7 straight matches. So it really is about momentum and getting that winning spirit, and we're hoping that we can put a run of games together now.
Yeah, and Paul Carden is, you know, I think you've done great to get Paul in, experienced. He'll have certainly been in these situations before. You know, what was his job spec? What did you say to him, Toby, when he came in? What was expected of him, or what did he expect of you? How did that relationship develop?
I think Paul knew sort of before he came in, sort of at the interview stage, if you like, going right back to the start. Paul knows that it's, you know, it's a progressive club, and you know, I want to try and take it as, you know, as far as we can, if not all the way. And he knew that before he came in, so you know, my expectations were underlined at that point, and he was more than happy with that. And it's been a great signing for us. You know, the experience, yeah, he's had, and the level that he's come from, he's fetched some great differences to the club.
And you know, sitting where you are now, listen, you're up there to be fired at. I was just looking at the table. It's, you know, certainly the top five, it's a real scrap. I think Gainsborough have a bit to do to get in. Well, maybe not, but you could take it all the way down to seventh, I suppose. Well, 6-7, who could all win it. You know, you know, for me, of course you want to win it, but playoffs, I would say, I'm not a gambling man, but I would say that the five of the top, well, the five of the top six are more or less sorted. It's just about Gainsborough sticking around. You're going to make playoffs minimum, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think the top five or six are near enough going to stay as they are for the remainder of the season, and you know, someone will fight it out for that last playoff place. But you know, my aspirations for this season were the same as last year. You know, let's get fifth and let's get in the playoffs and let's be a part of it. And you know, it looks like we're more than certain to be a part of the playoffs. And I think it's just really important this season. And I've underlined that you know, we try to finish as high as we can. If we don't win it, and it has to be second or third, because of course, as we all know, that this horrendous super playoff situation, it's all about points per game and all that factored in. So you know, it's important that we get that high place finish.
Yeah, and let's look at the good news. If it happens and you win it or you go up in the playoffs, financially for yourselves to go up to another level, you can take that on.
I think we can. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you know it's going to come with problems. You know, and by that I mean sort of ground upgrades.
Yeah.
You know, and competing with, you know, there's 13 full-time clubs in the division above, where, you know, which are resulting in 26 fixtures against full-time outfits, which, you know, you can do it in cup matches. You know, we did it last year when we knocked Ebbs Fleet out, and, you know, we had a great trophy run. You'll do it ever so often. You know, with an inch on your chest, you'll knock a full-time club out. But to play full-time outfits week on week, it is a tall order. And, you know, it's one of them things where I don't think you'll address the problems or tackle the challenges if you're not up there and involved.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I think that it becomes a big step, and to do anything full time, even if you're bad at it, you should get better. Do you know what I mean? You've got more time, more opportunity. Okay, well, would you look at putting your own club full time? Would that be a long way away?
It's definitely something that's on our to-do list, I would say. But, you know, I think if we go up, we have got the ground upgrades to look at. So I think, you know, the sensible option is let's get up there.
Yeah.
Let's do a season. Let's get the ground sorted. let's visit the new clubs, learn about the opposition and the league we're in, and take stock from there, if you like.
Yeah. I mean, you've been there a while now, and you're one of these, like many ambitious chairmen. You've spoken of the plan to take the club into the Football League. Have you got a 5-year plan for that, or is that a 10-year plan, or is it just that's where you'd like
that's
to end up?
That's the plan, and then it'll come when it comes.
I think so. Yeah, you know, if you'd have asked me that question, you know, 2-3 years ago, 100% there was a 5-year plan. But you know, I think in non-league, more than anywhere else in the game, it's not sort of changing season on season now. It's sort of changing month on month. You know, financially, it's getting tougher. You know, you look at some players now, and you know the wages they can earn in the Conference National.
Yeah.
It's a big league to be in, and you know the change non-league is changing. You know the sort of business side of it quicker than it has been in the past. So, and it's probably difficult to put 5-year plans in place, but we've definitely got milestones that we want to reach, no question.
Do you know, I've just wrote down here, Toby, wise words. I don't mean the previous statement. I mean the previous couple of statements from a chairman. It always warms my heart to hear a chairman speak with reality involved, you know, because, and I think you're quite wise in what you say, that the 5-year plans and all that nonsense seems to be yesterday's stuff. You know, it's what you're doing now. You have to go with it. If you can reach it, reach it, but not get carried away. And I think, you know, with Paul, you know, it just seems like a real solid base, you know, the 2 years together.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the great thing is he cares about all the different aspects of the club. You know, how we train, where we train, all different things about what we do off the pitch. You know, the playing surface, you know, cares about that. And, you know, even to the point where he's actually, you know, sacrificed some of the wage budget to make sure the playing surface is right, which, you know, you don't get a lot of managers doing that.
Yeah.
Because he wants the surface to be a certain way. So, you know, I 100% agree with you. You know, 5-year, 3-year plans are great, but the game's changing. You've got to move with it and, I think, pick a few milestones. You know, like the full-time aspect, you know, don't go too soon with that because it can ruin you, you know, and you never know. You could have a good cup run 1 year, yet you could get knocked out in the qualifier the year after. So it's difficult to judge at the minute.
Yeah,
and things are going well on the field. We've discussed that. But obviously, Warrington's probably better known for rugby league than football. So is that a challenge in trying to build up the club and taking it to that next stage, is to sort of get people involved in a football club?
It is, but you know, I use the older analogy that I use all the time. Is, you know, there's 230,000 people in the town. It's the third largest town in the UK with no football league club. So if you took a 2% of that population, you know, as an attendance figure, that'd be higher than a lot of non-league clubs. So I think it's there, and I think that's underlined. A lot of fans and people at the club, you know, go mad when, you know, we'll get a big game at the ground and, you know, we'll sell it out in 3 hours. In, you know, playoffs, for example, we'll sell that with 2,500 people in 3 hours. But then they don't come to the league games, which I don't get too upset about, because that tells me that it's there. You know, if you build it and you present something to the people of town, they'll come and watch.
Well, as you were saying, you know, non-league is changing as a business model, you know, every few seconds. And as you probably know, it's the off the field activity and the secondary spend and that's going to help you build and move on as a business and as a football club. Have you got any new initiatives that you're looking at there in that front?
Yeah, I've got a few things we're looking at behind the scenes. You know, and as we've sort of been doing well recently, a few more local businesses have got involved, which allows us to go and have a look at other things. You know, different sort of academy setups. And just little things that'll bring extra revenue in that aren't heavy on manpower and man hours, because, of course, as we know, and I'm not talking about volunteers, I'm talking about putting hours into what'll take the club forward in the best way forward, rather than wasting hours on things that make the club look good but don't actually take it forward, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, my mother used to call it fur coat, no knickers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. That's probably the right analogy I'm looking for.
Yeah. And when things are going well on the field, does it then make it more difficult for you to, you know, put that other, I suppose, a more strategic head on to look at those other businesses? Because it actually, It's far more exciting to get involved in the football side of things, isn't it? You know, have a pat on the back with Paul and sort of enjoy that side of things. But actually, you need to be second guessing and moving ahead for next season if you go up.
You do, and you know, you sort of get your ducks lined up and you're thinking that you're doing all the right thing. I mean, you know, for example, playoff semi-finals last year, you sort of got one step in thinking, well, have I got my floodlight upgrade ready? What am I going to do about my 211-seat dugouts? You know, you can't do any of that work, or even you can get prices for it and factor it into sort of what you've got going forward. But then at 10-10 on the night of the playoff semi-final, it doesn't matter because you're still in the same division.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite an abrupt finish and it changes your thinking. So it really is one game at a time. And like you say, you've got to be strategic with what you do next around every game.
But you are top of the table at the moment, and you sound like you're enjoying it. Are you enjoying being chairman there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a great club, it's a great town, and I really believe, you know, that when I first got there, I thought it's got the potential to do something. It really has, and I think, like I said already, you know, it's a sort of build it and they shall come type thing. Yeah. But it's got to be built methodically and the right way, and don't go wild in the aisles. Really, you know, just take your time and hopefully it'll come.
And another thing, Paul, it's very difficult to keep moving forward and upwards. You know, the old sort of two steps forward, one step back can happen at times. And that's why, you know, when you were talking earlier on about how realistic you were about it, I like that, because, you know, that's something that people seem to forget happens, you know. And while it's going the way it is, brilliant, but you also have the reality that there could be a little blip, because everybody has it. You know, the biggest teams in the country have blips. We've just seen a couple at Man City and Liverpool this week, the last couple of weeks. So I would say that you're in a good position, as much as that you both seem to know where you are and what it's about. I think what happens is when you start to put silly pressure onto a manager and the squad about what's accepted or expected, it can go the other way. So I wouldn't give you the kiss of death and say I expect you to win it, which would be the kiss of death. But I tell you what, for the people in and around that league, it looks like it's going to be an unbelievable last third of the season, just looking at the top six.
Oh, it could. You look at the fixtures, and I think if you look at the last week of the fixtures, there's a possibility where it could actually go down to the final day of the season. It really could. It's going to be a proper nail-biter. Wow.
You've got Hensford this week, but next weekend it's your trip to South Shields as well. I guess there'll be a fair few making that trip as well.
Yeah, there is. You know, and another great thing that's happened to us recently is we started doing away coaches to away games, and we've been filling, brilliant, you know, quite early. You know, I think all the coach travel for the remainder of the away games is near enough full for the rest of the season, like one or two spots left on. And we've not been in that place before either, so you know, for us to start building to take more and more away fans to games, can only be good.
Absolutely.
Really, really big ask. You know, going to be a good day up there. And I think they're 20 straight wins at home. So, you know, it's a formidable place to go. Huge crowds, but, you know, huge crowds will spur our players on, because they've got great players, but, you know, so have we.
My assistant manager loves that. You know, when you say, yeah, they haven't lost in 20 games, he always says to me, well, they're due one. You know, he goes the other way. He hates it when the team you're playing have lost their last three at home. He doesn't like it, you know. So that's what makes it the sport it is. It's a game I'd love to see, to be honest.
Oh, it's going to be a great day. You know, there's like you say, you know, there's more than the prize of 3 points on offer at that game. So it's going to be good. And I think it won't only be a season decider, but you might have to say, but I don't think it'll be a season decider. No.
No. Yeah, it won't be, but it'll feel like it at 3 o'clock that Saturday. That's for sure.
It'll feel it on the 4.5 hour drive home.
well, Toby, hopefully Dave Anderson hasn't given you the kiss of death, and
deliberately stayed away from it, because I am, believe me, I am the kiss of death, Toby. So I'm staying away from him, saying it's too hard to call, and I wish you well.
No, thanks so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us, and best of luck for the rest of the season. Cheers, Toby.
No, great stuff. Thank you.
Yep.
Dave, it wasn't quite refreshing to talk to a chairman that in the past has mentioned about Football League ambitions, but he's reined it in. He's realised he's learning. He's got a good manager.
He's got a top manager. Yeah, he's got a top manager, and reined it in. Yeah, that's putting it bluntly, Tim. But I think you can only judge people on what you see, how they progress and evolve, if you like. And I just thought he spoke really well tonight. I thought I've just wrote down, as I said, wise words, level-headed, you know, not getting carried away, not, you know, as much as I always say supporters deserve to dream. I think he's in a position where as a supporter he can dream, but when he goes into his job as a chairman, he has to keep a reality. And it just sounded nice and solid to me. Like, no, there's no panic going to go on there, and no, you know, I thought that the little sense he says, look, we're not worried about 5-year plans, milestones. When we hit them, we hit them. And I think that's top notch. And if you're going to away games and you're filling your coaches now to take, you know, that it's all moving the right way. So I would make sure that Paul Cardon's on a reasonably thick contract that's hard to get out of as well, because it'll create attention, because he's an experienced man, and people are always looking for managers who can do it, and he's certainly doing it at the minute.
Well, yeah, talking of milestones, our next guest is a manager that's had a few himself. Now, most weeks we fill a fair few minutes with chatter about this manager leaving here and that manager leaving there, but our next guest has been on the show a few times over the years, and he's clocked up over 800 games in charge at his current club, pushing Poole Town currently towards the playoffs in the Southern Premier South Division. Welcome back to the show, manager at Poole Town, Tom Killick.
Good evening.
Now, nearly 15 years in that job, but there can't be many in the pyramid that can match that.
No, it's certainly been certainly something I didn't envisage when I when I first took over. I mean, if I'm honest, it was just something I did because I didn't really like the idea of, I couldn't play anymore, and I didn't really like the idea of not being involved. So it was to try and continue my sort of involvement in any way possible, and I didn't envisage that I'd be sitting here 15 years later. That's for sure.
Yeah, to be fair, Tom, I think what you're trying to say is B&Q, you didn't fancy B&Q in a sorry. It keeps a lot of us in football management. But listen, the question I always ask people when they're in the job for the length of time that they've been in, if you met the guy who started 15 years ago, what would you say to him? What bit of advice would you give to him? Where do you think what would he learn from you now if you walked into a room and found the guy who took over?
I do think you have to almost have a bit of an obsession. I think it has to be, the commitment has to be really very strong. Otherwise, it just doesn't work in any way, you know. And it has to be a very big part of your life, and you have to be prepared to make it a very big part of your life. And if you're not prepared to do that, or you can't do that, then I don't think it's for you. It's a much bigger commitment than playing. You know, playing, you turn up, you play the game, you might be a bit annoyed for a couple of hours. You blame everyone in your head. You blame everyone else. You know, it's never normally your fault. And then you sort of turn up the next week. But, obviously as a manager, it's very different, because you're going over all the things from one defeat until the next time you get an opportunity. And I think the other thing that I've learned is that your age comes into play. I mean, I have to deal with the players differently now than when I first started. When I first started, I was pretty similar in age to a lot of the players, or certainly only very slightly older. I had a lot in common with the players. Now, you know, some of them are, you know, I'm nearly 50 and I've got sort of 18, 19-year-olds. It's a very different dynamic. So there's all sorts of different things. But it's a very rewarding thing when things go right, that's for sure. So I wouldn't try and put anyone off.
No, I wouldn't either. And I think your point's a great point, because, I'm just thinking of my own career when I first started. But Do you find it easier now then? Because it's easier. Listen, the one thing you have to do as a football manager is, and it's a fine line, but you have to have a little bit of distance between your players. You have to be the manager. Do you find the age thing helps that, Tom?
I do. I think so. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. There has to be just a little bit of a distance between you and the players. And I think age sort of naturally gives that. I think when you're a lot younger, you know, some of the players, it's often the case, I think, if you take over at a club as well, it may be that some of the players you've actually played with. So, you know, that in itself can cause some issues. Yeah, but yeah. I think I probably have found it a bit easier as I've got older. And you do learn how to deal with people, and you learn sometimes not to speak when you're really emotional. I think that's another thing I've learned. I think, you know,
I wish I could learn that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I stick to it all the time, but
yeah.
I think sometimes, you know, you just have to reflect on things a bit before starting to speak. You know, that's something I've learned. But everything's changing all the time. You know, the personality and the character of the players changes. I think the way everyone approaches football has changed. You do have to move with it, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, tell me the biggest changes you feel, you know, if you go back to the start with sort of players and who they are and what they are compared to now. I'm just curious because I like to ask experienced people how they see it compared to in my own head how I see it. But how you say they're different. How are they different?
I think I know this. Everyone says this, and I really do sound like an old git when I say it. But
I'm a lot older. Don't worry. Crack on.
I do think that, you know, personalities, people are a little bit softer. You know, in terms of how you can deal with them, the criticism and the way that you can criticise people. I think people are a bit more sensitive now, and you have to be a bit more delicate with them. And I think even the types of players that you deal with, you know, everyone wants to be a certain type of player, you know, and catch the ball on their neck and flick it over, you know, and be beautiful to watch. Whereas, you know, years ago, a lot of people wanted to go around and make tackles and be that person. You know, what my assistant said to me the other day, we need someone in midfield that's just going to, you know, we need a real leader. We need a real nasty midfielder. Yeah. And I said, it's not, you know, those types of players, you know, that there's less of them. But I do think that the technical ability's gone up. So I'm not saying that there's been a decline. Yeah. I just feel it's different. Different players are technically better, but I do feel they're a little bit softer in terms of sometimes their approach. And sometimes I think they can accept defeat a little bit more easily than I would like. But that may be me just being a bit, you know, looking at things through rose tinted glasses.
I agree with you. If I was going to sum it up quickly, my own thoughts are technically much better, turn up much fitter in pre-season. You know, the old run your backside off for fortnight, don't need that. They turn up fit, you know, technically much better, certainly softer, not as many leaders. The art of defending, which is the hardship of the game, if you like, heading the ball, tackling, is disappearing quickly. But it's a different beast now, you know, and I just put a big tick on my page when you were talking because I absolutely agreed with what you were saying. Let me ask you this. So something I haven't done, 800 games with one club. Why?
Probably because no one else has ever decided that they want me. Really. I think it's been a combination of factors. As a manager, you want to progress, and I've been lucky enough to sort of progress with my club. You know, obviously I was ambitious when I started. I wanted to do better than the level that Paul Town were at when I arrived. But because the way the club was set up, we were able to sort of achieve progression. So, you know, it just worked out very well. It just worked out very well for me. I mean, it's the old cliche, really, that I was able to fulfil my own ambitions through the club that I was at. Whereas I think often managers, if they're ambitious and they're doing well, then they would have to leave their club behind, perhaps, on occasions. But I was lucky that the club were able to sort of keep pace with what we were doing, or I was able to keep pace with what the club wanted to do, and it just worked quite well. And, you know, I came into it and we were in Wessex Division 1, which I'm not very good on all these steps, but, you know, you've got the Wessex Premier League and then it's the one below that. I think it might be Step 6.
Yeah.
And then we went into the Wessex Prem, so Step 5, and then into the Southern Division, as it was. And then and then the Southern Prem, and then the Conference South. And then, so it was, that was something that we've sort of achieved together. And the one huge sort of blot was obviously last year in terms of the relegation, which, was probably the biggest disappointment I've had.
Yeah. I mean, I said that Tim, I'm finished with questions, but you mentioned the relegation. I suppose part of you, the competitor in you, is never walking away from that anyway. You want to put that right.
Yeah, I didn't like the idea of finishing on that note. I must admit, I found the relegation very difficult to deal with. I was lucky that we'd been successful over a number of years, so we were winning a lot of games and not losing many games. And suddenly you're thrown in a situation where you seem to be losing every week. And you get to a point where you think, well, you can't be so angry all the time, but you can't allow people to think that it's acceptable. And it just, everyone got in a bit of a muddle, really. I think players had been used to being successful. I'd been used to being successful, and suddenly we hit this run of defeats, and I don't think we dealt with it very well on both sides of it, really. But it's done now, and we have to look forward. But it was very sad, I think, for the club, because we worked so hard to get there, and it was for the first time I felt properly sort of fulfilled in a way, because I realised the club couldn't really realistically get beyond Conference South, but I felt, you know, we were at a level that really I enjoyed in the club, and it was probably the maximum the club could enjoy. And then suddenly it was, you know, we lost it. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I've never got relegated. I've certainly been at the bottom for 3 years when I was at Horrorborough. And, you know, people say to me, oh, how do you deal with your team being at the top of the league? I said, go and manage one at the bottom. Yeah, and you'll find that the top of the league's a breeze. You know, it's a happier place. It's a place that is used to success. It's, you know, when you're at the bottom, it's a proper slug. But then again, you know, to be fair, Tom, then, you know, every day's a school day. You learn a lot about yourself and the people around you, you know.
Yeah, and it interests me that obviously you can have success for sort of years on the spin, and then you have some failure, and everyone then immediately questions the things you've been doing, and it gets to the point where you do start questioning them yourself. I mean, I've been one that I'm quite, you know, players work hard during the day, and often they've got families, and if we've had a real hectic schedule of games, Saturday, Tuesday, every now and then I'll give the players a Thursday night off, and I've always done that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly last year that was questioned. You know, you're not training enough, you're not working hard enough, and I'm thinking, and then you do start questioning it yourself. But we've come through the other side now, and I think confidence on my side and the player side has been hard to rebuild, but I do feel we're getting closer to where we need to be now in terms of the mentality.
But, you know, you're starting to sound a little bit downbeat there. You're on the edge of the playoffs again this season.
And I've took him to a flashback place and I apologise for that, Tom. I was just interested.
It's like he's in therapy now. You say you're not quite 50. You're as a manager, you know, the man sitting in front of you, he could tell you've got years ahead of you as a manager.
He has,
And that win ratio, since you've been at Poole Town, over 60%. I mean, there's legends of the managers higher up the game that would love to have that sort of ratio.
Yeah, I think sometimes I can be a bit negative about things. It's always been one of the things that's caused me a bit of difficulty. I think I always remember sort of the defeats. Always, I remember them very, very clearly, and then the good times not so. But I just feel that having come down from the league below, I expected us I expected us to do a bit better than we are. We haven't done very well up until quite recently. The last sort of month's been a lot better. But it's a tough league, you know, coming into this league. I must admit, it seems stronger than it was. And there's a lot of clubs competing, obviously, for those precious playoff places. And now, if you do get in the playoffs, obviously, you've got to win. You've effectively got to win two. You've got to win your own league, if you like, and then as I understand it, you've then got to face another strong team in the equivalent league. So unless you can get the automatic spot, and I do think that's something they need to look at, is to make it a little bit, to have one automatic spot. You could end up with a club losing out on that top spot by a goal difference, and then suddenly they're in the playoffs. I think there should be two automatic myself, but I know it's difficult with all the restructuring. But I do feel that in any league you're in, if you finish in the top two, you deserve to be promoted.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think just as a throwaway comment, you're talking about, it's, you haven't started well. I think there's always a bit of a hangover to what happened to you, and I think you probably come out of that now or you're playing a little bit of catch up. But there's always an effect. There's always an effect when there's a relegation. It's just a natural reaction, Tom,
Yeah, and I think we've suffered the benefit on the other side of that when we've been promoted.
Yeah.
I think we've, the newly promoted sides, were a great example in that they got relegated from the Conference South. They went down into the league below. They won that, and then the momentum and the confidence they had, took them up. Into the promotion again, and we had it when we won the when we got promoted into the Conference South. We ended up finishing in the playoff positions our first season. I think an awful lot was down to the sort of confidence and the winning mentality we had. So I think and this time round we've had the negative effect of it, but I definitely think that is a big feature for relegated clubs and promoted clubs.
But as you say, you've had a great month so far, a 3-1 home win over Wharton Casual, 3-0 home win over Kings Langley, and then a trip to Swindon Supermarine, who themselves probably would expect to be in playoff contention. So, if you can win that game again, you've got the real momentum with you, and psychologically, that's got to be fantastic for you as a manager and looking at opposition, at how that's going to affect them.
Yeah, the league's been a strange one. I looked at Kings Langley, who we played the other week, and they were right in the, in the depths of the bottom reaches of the league. Only seemed sort of 3 months ago, whenever it was, and then suddenly they got within touching distance of the playoffs. So it is, if you can get five or six good results, you can really propel yourself. We're probably, when you look at it, you've got, I haven't got the league table in front of me, but you've got obviously Weymouth, Taunton. Salisbury, who are, pretty much, we're not going to be able to get in amongst them, but there's only one place realistically think we could get. I think there's a few teams probably going to be fighting for the last spot. That's the way it seems to be, and hopefully we can be one of them.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Salisbury and Weymouth, who were, I guess, some of your nearest rivals as well. Does that then make it difficult to bring in players when you've got other clubs around you, where you've not got a great catchment area? You've got quite a bit of travel for players coming in. When you've got clubs like Salisbury and Weymouth that are in that same catchment area, does that make it difficult for you to bring in new players when you're trying to boost your squad?
I think so. When we find ourselves in the same league as Wimborne, Dorchester, Weymouth, ourselves, we're in quite close proximity. So if a good player becomes available, invariably, pretty much all of those clubs I've mentioned, are trying to sign them. And Weymouth, team like Weymouth, almost again get the flip side of what we've got. They've got a bit of a feel good factor there because they did well last year. They're doing well this year. So suddenly there's an attraction for players to go there, and we used to have that, and now we're trying to get it back. But financially, I think the clubs in our area seem to be in reasonable shape. Even Wimborne have always been in a bit of difficulty over recent years financially. Not difficulty, but they've been quite sort of restricted in terms of what they can do. But I think that's changed, and now they're quite powerful financially. Weymouth are powerful financially. So it does, it's difficult when you're in competition with clubs in such close proximity for players. But it's all part of it. When we were in the Conference South last year, again, we got the benefit of it because we could offer the attraction of that higher level of football. But now we just all have to, try our best and see
scrub
if
it
we
out.
Can get people over the line. Yeah.
Well, if ever there was a man that knew how to scrap it out, I think you've got that fair bit of experience on the side there. And as I say, you've got momentum with you. So always good talking to you, Tom. We wish you well for the rest of the season, and you know, hopefully speak to you when you're in those playoffs.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no, good luck, Tom.
Dave, it sounds like he has learnt a lot since he's been there, but there's still more to learn.
Listen, every day's a school day. Every day's a school day. Yeah, of course, I mean, 800 games, 15-year period, there's not many people do that. You know,
not many people do that in a normal job.
Well, there's not many people manage for 800 games, never mind at the same place. So yeah, his knowledge now is vast. He's a very experienced guy, and I just think when I said why have you done it, I wasn't being detrimental to Tom. I'm not saying he shouldn't have done it. It's just something you don't see every day, and I'm bore the backside off people here talking about stability and repetition and blah blah blah, and he's done that. So I wasn't sort of saying for a minute he should have moved. I was just seeing how he seen it, and I thought his answer was his answer told me he had ambition but he'd fulfilled that without moving, you know, which is absolutely right, you know. And I think when you spend 800 games in 15 years somewhere, it's not a pension plan, it's too long, you know, so you have to be fulfilled. And he obviously, when you look through the record, 60% win. Mine, I think, I'm not going to go through mine, but at Wimbledon it was 50-something and people thought it was brilliant. 60% win. I bet you that's better than Alex Ferguson. I bet you it's better than the top guys.
Yeah, well, obviously Tom hit the ground running when moving from step six all the way up to step two. So
it's not an easy thing to do. People think you can just spin it off and go and win leagues. You know, man, like where I am, we're I think we might be top at a minute by a point. And it's not easy. You don't just sort of click your fingers and win leagues, you know, and then to go again the next year and win that, and then to go again. It's a very, very difficult ask. And you know, fair play to him. It's a really, really good record.
And we didn't even get to talk about Charlie Austin.
I know.
Biggest player he's seen moved on. Who I believe is still in contact with the club and keeps, which again shows something about the manager, doesn't it?
It does. And listen, I think I always remember Bob Dowie telling me Fitz Hall, who Bob sold from Chesham to, might have been the Oldham, I'm off the top of my head, to his brother, to Ian. And then fast forward it, and Fitz has had a great career, and then he walks in the door at Crystal Palace, where Bob's the director of football and Ian's the manager. And he drives in a jumbo jet, you know, as players do these days, you know, gets out and locks it, and Bob's waiting on him. He went, "See that, Bob? That's all down to you." And, you know, that's a line that, you know, it obviously wasn't all down to Bob, because Fitz had worked his backside off and had the ability, but he was just making the mark that, you know, I haven't forgotten. And you'll find that, I'm sure Charlie Austin's the same. He will not forget what Tom Killick's done for him, you know. And we've spoke to people through the years, and players who go on to do well have a memory of who set them on the road, you know.
So time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers again, and joined this week by Matt Badcock, senior writer over at the Non-League Paper. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, Tim. How are you?
It's another week. Another week's over. But, you know, February, with your second week, it's just going too fast this season.
It is going too fast. I've been talking to a couple of managers this week and sort of keep hearing the phrase, oh, you know, we've got 14 games to go and things like that. And you think, 14 games to go? It's sort of... doesn't seem possible that we've quite got to this stage of the season already, does it? But here we are. It's getting to the exciting bit now.
It is getting to the exciting bit. It's not getting to the warm bit yet. It's still pretty cold, and it's still going to be hats and gloves, I guess, this weekend. But let's a chat about some of the things the week just gone. FA Trophy. There were some goals, weren't there, this week?
I mean, yeah, if that was the game to be at, wasn't it, on Tuesday night, Ramsbottom versus Fylde, 5-5. I mean, that is incredible. One of the lads in the office saying, of any other games like that over recent years, and I can't think I've ever seen. I'm sure lots of listeners will have no games or be able to recall games, but I can't think of anything like that I've really been to, apart from many, many years ago, went to an FA Vars final. It was 4-4, so. But 5-5, and it sounded like a cracking game as well. Ramsbottom were 2-0 down, weren't they? Go back to 2-2, 4-2 down.
It was certainly one of those games.
And then 5-5, you think, what's going on here?
Yeah, I was sort of watching it on Twitter, and you didn't know which way it was going to turn next, did you?
No, that's why we always go and watch football for months on end, and you see, you know, your fair share of boring routine games, and I guess we're all sort of living for exciting games like that, but they don't come along very often. But I always wonder how you feel as a manager when you watch those sort of games. So I guess it's mixed emotions. It's sort of a crazy scoreline. Obviously, the winners of that replay will play against Carl Shorten and Barnet in the next round, weren't they? And they shared a 3-3 game last Saturday, and obviously Barnet had a 3-3 in the FA Cup against Brentford in their first game a few days before. So, yeah, so not bad if you like goals. Not one for the defenders, though.
No, we were discussing about crowds being down in the FA Trophy, but with games like that, with that number of goals, there's certainly a reason to be watching FA Trophy games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always the crowds, like you say, often down in those early rounds, and now you hope as we're getting down to the sort of last eight that it will get, those crowds will sort of pick up. But I think that's it's one of the beauties of non-league football. Sometimes you can turn up and not really know what to expect, and you can see a lot of goals and get a bit of bang for your buck. But I can't imagine many people turn up at Ramy on Tuesday. I think they'd see they'd see 10 against, especially a step four club against a National League club who are flying high as well.
Yeah, so they got it all to do on Tuesday. So Barnet, Carl Shorten, and so Maidstone and Salford.
Yeah, so no one, there's obviously not as many goals, but there's a couple there, wasn't there? But it would be, sort of a great carrot as well, play against Stockport in the next round. That obviously be a rocking Edgeley Park, you'd imagine. That'll be sort of really hoping they can go further, and it's sort of really shaping up to be an interesting competition when you get down to this stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're the sides that drew, but there's some big results as well at the weekend. You know, Brackley winning away at Chesterfield to continue their defence to the title, and now they're drawn away at Leighton Orient.
Yeah, let's give me Brackley. You know, we sort of often see teams who come out to defend the. You know, teams want to say they want to defend their title, and often they can sort of slip out quite early on. But Brackley are definitely having a great go at it, and I guess it shouldn't really be much of a surprise. Obviously, Kevin Wilkins knows his way around, non-league, and obviously this competition, having won it with Brackley last year and got to the final a few years ago with Wrexham. But there's that sort of real team spirit about those players at Brackley. I think that we saw at Wembley last year, and that's no surprise that they're given everything to get back. To get back there, but it was a great result at Chesterfield, and now Leighton Orient up next that's one of the ties of the round at the moment.
Yeah, and what with Stockport beating Harrogate as well, it shows the strength of that National North League, doesn't it?
Yeah, that is a really unforgiving league. I think we often talk about it, don't we? And you look at some of the clubs that are in there and how they're faring or not faring. You know, look at York really sort of struggling at the moment, and. Obviously, Stockport have been down there a couple of years, haven't they? And it's struggling to get back. And this is where they're really, you know, they're right up there now, and that sort of giving themselves a chance to get back. But you know, look at Kidderminster or Chester up there. It's those are the clubs we sort of expected. And then Chorley and Bradford Park Avenue. It really is an interesting, unforgiving league. And you look at the attendances in that league as well. I mean, I think it's quite. Over 10, is it 10, 11, 12 clubs maybe get over 1,000 a week average, which is just fantastic. Shows the depth of football in this country.
It does. And then, yeah, that's National North. But you've been looking at some of the clubs in the National South, because that's also all to play for down there.
Yeah, I got my passport out this week and made the long trek to Devon to have a sit-down chat with Gary Johnson, who's... done a remarkable job at Torquay since he's taken over there. I mean, it's been difficult times at the club in recent years for various reasons, and have slipped down, and not necessarily because of the fault of the managers who've been there, but because of situations that have been going on behind the scenes. But Gary Johnson's definitely come in and he's completely turned them around. I saw one of his early games in his first week in the FA Cup down at Lymington, and they won 7-0 that day, and it sort of shows that he was getting his ideas into his players pretty quickly, and what a talented group of players he has, and they an unbelievable run, and now they're top of the league. But it's great to sit down with Gary. I mean, he's got so much experience, over more than 30 years in management, since he first went to the dugout in Newmarket Town many years ago, and he's got 5 promotions of his own. He's been involved in others with clubs as an assistant, like when he's at Cambridge and when he's at Watford and things like that. That sort of real experience and nous that he's brought to Torquay is really shown. And it was really enjoyed having an hour chat with him the other day. There's a big piece going in Sunday's paper talking about Lee Johnson, his son, who's obviously flying at Bristol City and trying to get into the Premier League. And obviously he played for Gary at Yeovil when he had that all-conquering Yeovil side back in the conference many years ago as well. But sort of when you look at it, look at Gary Johnson's CV, and he sort of really makes you realise what a great manager they've got at Torquay, and what a real coup that was getting him in early this season. But he knows that there's a lot of work to be done. They're clear at the top of the table at the moment by 4 points, but he was saying pretty much anyone in that top 6 he thinks can have a right to believe they can win the league, and probably with Torquay, Woking, Chelmsford and Bath as the ones you'd probably look at the moment to being able to say that they could go and win the title. And I actually spoke to Bath City manager Jerry Gill earlier today as well, because he's in his first season, went out and took his time recruiting in the summer, and he's got some players who really really know their way around the game, and that's sort of coming to fruition now. There are 9 games unbeaten, which is a fantastic run. Obviously one of those games was Torquay as well. But then you've got Woking with Alan Dowson. They obviously had a defeat the other night against Dartford, and Rod Stringer's Chelmsford, so that is a really competitive and interesting league, and one to really keep our eye on in the coming weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned Woking just losing to Dartford this week, so losing a little bit of their traction that they had on Torquay. But they've signed Dave Tarpey, a much proven goal scorer at that level, and it's nice to be able to bring in a striker that can score goals at that level at this stage of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely signing that every other club in there, I think, oh no, wish they hadn't gone and signed him, because if he can, he's always had his injury since he went to Barnet. It's been really, really sort of unfortunate after his incredible seasons, goal scoring that he had at Maidenhead, that obviously helped them get promoted. I saw them that day that they got up, and you could just see how he's fizzing with confidence, and as a team they were. But you could see what an important player he was for them. All those goals that he scored, and then obviously came up into the National League, didn't he? And scored quite a few. Had a good night up at Fylde one evening, didn't he? And then he got his move into the league, and it sort of not quite happened because of injury. But if they can get him back really fit and firing there, then that is a very important asset to have in their ranks.
And then it wouldn't be a week in non-league football if we didn't talk about managerial changes. Just when you think Wrexham might be on the maybe have found a manager that they could last and sort of see through to the end of the season, build, and they're so desperate to get out of the National League, and then we have a change there.
Yeah, it's been a sort of strange time for Wrexham, isn't it? I saw something earlier saying Dean Saunders had 3 years in charge, and since then they haven't had anyone who's lasted anywhere near that long. I mean, obviously Andy Morrell was there a while, but even he wasn't there for 3 years, and that sort of stability is often what you think that you need at a club, and it's not been their own fault at times. That Dean Keats obviously got lured away by his hometown club Walsall last season, and then Sam Ricketts came in the summer and was doing a really good job, and that caught the attention of Shrewsbury, and I think sort of the fans were probably, he's probably not on their Christmas card list, but it's one of those moves that you could always sort of see maybe happening because of the career that he had, and he went from non-league to the Premier League, and the ambition that he had. And I think sometimes in management, you can't always turn those sort of opportunities down. But Graham Barrow obviously took over after first thing. He didn't really want it. And reading one of the local reports today, I think he's sort of saying it was best for the club that he moved on, because it just wasn't quite right for him. So fair play to him for for saying that, I guess, and putting the club first. But it sort of, then leaves him on to a third manager of the season, which just isn't ideal. Brian Hughes has come in, and he's someone who knows the club, having played there, and I think he had a spell at Scarborough Athletic a few years ago. He's gone away and done lots of coaching since then, and I'm sure he's a different manager and coach since that time. And there's no doubt in the size of the task at Wrexham, because it's such a big club that so desperate to get back into the Football League. And I think, as we always say, someone's got to get it right eventually, and whoever does, that man will be a legend. And obviously Brian Hughes will be hoping it'll be him. He's had a good career, and he sort of knows what comes and what's required, and how to cope with those sort of pressures. But it'd be interesting, and I think hopefully he'll get off to a good start, because I think the fans are a little bit restless at the moment. I don't think they're sort of too happy with how things have been.
Well, that's it, because you say about legendary status as a player, had a very good career at Wrexham, but as a manager, the track record, he's got all the right badges, all the right bits of paper, but there's a lot of pressure in that Wrexham job, isn't there? We spoke to Tom Kellick at Poole Town earlier on in the show, 800 games in charge at Poole Town. That sort of experience, when you've got so much pressure on you from the fans and expectation, the club wanting to get back into the Football League, does an inexperienced manager, does that count against him in that role?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of managers out there who've done a lot of time and think, feel like they could have had a crack at Wrexham and made a difference. But, I don't think he would have had the career that he had as a player if he can't cope with that sort of pressure and expectation. That mentality goes into coaching and management. And time will tell how it goes, and I hope he does well. I hope Wrexham do well, because a club that's really enjoyable to go to, and you want to see that race course really rocking. It would be, we've seen them at Wembley in the past, haven't we? And passionate bunch of fans they are, and they've more than done their time in non-league, they'll feel, won't they? But this is the thing, you don't have any right to divine right just to get out. But it is one hell of a job. But at the moment, it's not like he's taken over a club sort of, a team in crisis, so to speak, because they have been doing reasonably well. Obviously, they've been on a bad run recently, but he's not going in and trying to save them from relegation or anything like that. So you need to hit the ground running, because it's at that stage of the season. They want to give themselves as the best chance that they can in we're obviously going for the league, but if that's out of reach, then finishing as high as they can in the playoffs. So
yeah, I mean, it's still very, it's very tight at the top there, but they are only 4 points off Leighton Orient at the top. You can't go on a bad run, because you could quite easily slip out of the playoffs as well. But as you say, if you are going to go into a job, it's nice to go into a job where you're already in the top five positions there and in with a shout of promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you sort of almost like draw parallels already gone in Solskjaer at Man United, isn't he? Mm-hmm. When he went in there, people were saying, he hasn't got the experience, and he sort of didn't have a good time at Cardiff. But sometimes people and clubs just fit, don't they? And hopefully for Wrexham, Brian Hughes can fit them, because he does know about the club and started out in his career there. And if you can, that's a sort of club where if you can really sort of get them going and get everyone on the same, page, and we've seen what they can potentially achieve. And it is, now just about getting off to a good start and winning some games of football again, because, like I said, they probably haven't done that quite as much as they would have liked in recent weeks.
And another one that makes me feel old when a manager is given a job at a club like Wrexham and they're younger than me, it just, I realise that my time in non-league is maybe behind the microphone now. My managerial career never really started, and neither did my playing career, so I think this could be me now.
Well, it could be, but don't give up. Don't give up. I wouldn't want to see that. Don't give up on your dream.
I'm still here. Talking about dreams, what can we dream about on Saturday evening when your head finally hits the pillow? What can we be reading on Sunday in the non-league paper?
Well, hopefully we're dreaming about a 48-page paper, a full-size paper again, because see, last week we had to, with the weather, we had to lost a lot of games. And
You didn't resort to self-portrait pictures, though. I've seen that in many a match day program when the calendar gets hit. So.
Yeah, bigger pictures. Yeah, sort of, we're having constant discussions with the designers. And say, oh, you've got a bit of space here now and a bit of then. You say, well, can you make that picture a bit bigger? But fortunately, it doesn't always quite work like that. But yeah, plenty going on. Like I say, there's a big piece with Gary Johnson. If you're a Torquay fans, you'll enjoy reading that. I mean, if you're into betting, then I'd probably go out and put all your money on Torquay losing on Saturday, because I tend to curse the clubs when I do these big features. But yeah, obviously Bath, spoke to Bowers and Pitsy manager Rob Small as well this week. They're actually flying in the Bostic North, but he's very aware that they were last year and they slipped out of the automatic promotion spots and then missed out on in the playoffs in the semi-final, so their season was suddenly over before they knew it. So, and yeah, FA Trophy reaction, FA Vars. There's FA Vars games this weekend, isn't there? So that'll be in there. And then yeah, it's all about what happens on a Saturday now as well, isn't it? With the with every point matters.
Well, we are really in that crunch phase of the season, and as I say, you can't afford to be losing more than two games on the trot, because your league position can change dramatically.
Yeah, that's sort of talking to Rob Small, he was using that as an example and saying, you know, people outside, he's saying to his players that people outside the dressing room don't really think about or really particularly care about what you've been doing, you know, all that work that goes in pre-season and all those results that you've had so far and everything. That's kind of a means to an end, and it's about now and every point, no matter how you get them, can go a long way to whatever you're trying to achieve. And I think in the National League North and South, and obviously the National League as well, with that those two extra playoff spots, that's keeping so many club seasons alive that you know, there's quite a few out there. Realistically, you can go on one of those runs, like Bath have done. They're 9 games unbeaten. If you can sort of really string results together, then you know, it can really propel you up the table. And you're saying about Poole as well. They've sort of shot up the table in recent weeks, haven't they? Where they sort of had a bit of a tricky time, and now they've got some sort of results going. And that can be the key as well. You want to finish the season strong. So if you're going into those playoffs, you're absolutely motoring, and
it plays on the minds of the opposition as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking National League South last year, and Dartford lost by one goal, didn't they? And the goal difference, and they were, with a couple of minutes to go, they were champions and they were getting promoted. And Jason Pryor slammed one in for Havant. They've gone up, and Dartford have had to regather themselves. And a few days later, they're playing Braintree. Got in and finished seventh in the league. They've won their first game. Got to Dartford, beaten them, and gone to Hampden, and then beaten them. And you know, that just shows what can happen.
And that's all to come. That's all to come. But first, we got a weekend of football and the non-league paper to look forward to on Sunday. Thanks for as ever for joining us, Matt. And we'll speak to you soon.
Brilliant, Tim. Thanks very much.
So that's it for this week. A big thank you to Dave Anderson for being with me.
Pleasure.
Yeah, good luck at the weekend, Dave.
Thank you for adding the injury of these referees thing. We spoke about the refs.
I've been speaking to ref support that we should have some answers and some debate with them in the coming weeks, and also some word from the FA as well. So,
well, there's two things you don't often hear. I'll believe it when I see it. No, hopefully it'll be good. And thanks for the good luck, Tim. I appreciate it.
Well, who's going to need luck? You know, it's all in the preparation. You've had an extra week.
Yeah, I know. Ah, listen, it'll be good.
Well, a big thank you to those guests that we did have this week. A big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. You can give Mr. Dave Anderson some grief or some support at Dave Anderson 78, myself at Tim Fuel. Remember, you can also find us every week on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Smart Speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Probably some bad ones as well. thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA production. JIBBA.